When you get to a place of darkness, the easy way to respond to those circumstances is to continue to double down on the decisions that you're making.
Right.
It's really hard to look in the mirror and make a change, but I think that change has to be made in increments, in small steps.
Hello, my name's James, and thank you so much for checking out my podcast, Dad Mind Matters, helping men to safely navigate family life without losing their minds. In this podcast episode, I'm lucky enough to be joined by a dad who was in the United States Air Force for about 10 years, remains an Air Force reservist, runs a legal practice and a crisis coaching and consultancy practice, and he's giving advice about what you can do to look after your mental health and also what you can do to help if you're really worried about a friend or a colleague's mental health.
My name is Josh Traeger. I was active duty in the United States Air Force for about 10 years. I remain an Air Force reservist, which means that I give about 1 month of the year of my time to the United States Air Force. I separated from active duty at the end of 2019, came into a new career as a civilian right when the pandemic hit and experienced a really interesting transition around then. But now I have really two primary businesses. One is a legal practice. I live with my family in Northern Michigan. So we have a local legal practice there and then a little bit of a legal practice to help military members that are dealing with disciplinary issues. And then in addition to that, I have a coaching or consulting practice, which I call a crisis consulting practice. So I help high performers like small business owners, men, other individuals who are just looking to overcome a crisis that might occur in their lives. Most of the time that involves some combination of their personal or professional lives. And then they're trying to navigate both the issues that create at home and the issues that that creates at work.
I imagine your work is probably in high demand, especially at the moment with just the state of the economy in the world. Is there a trend of where you start with people?
I find that when people are stuck in a crisis or have done some things that got themselves in trouble or are just stuck in a loop of bad thoughts and bad acts, I feel like most of the time, the way to work out of that is to create new healthy patterns. And so it's almost more an absence of patterns that we're dealing with, or I'm dealing with my clients on a daily basis.
So maybe focusing on what works and doing more of the stuff that works.
Yeah, I can only really speak to personal experience. When I came off active duty, I had spent a lot of time doing very serious things when I was in the military, and it really affected me personally. And I found myself making bad decisions and just treating myself in an unhealthy manner. And that kind of trickled down to my personal life and my professional life. And I found the way that I was able to get out of that, which is how we coach clients nowadays, is to just start, like you said, doing less, but really building strong positive habits that support your goals in life and don't detract from those goals in life. I think it's just when you get to a place of darkness or difficulty, the easy way to respond to those circumstances is to continue to double down on the decisions that you're making.
Right.
It's really hard to, I think, look in the mirror and make a change, but I think that change has to be made in increments, in small steps.
How do you start helping someone?
I think the start is to have as many conversations as I can have in a confidential, private, trustworthy environment about what happened and how that has affected their approach to life. So a lot of it is just getting to the core of what event, what trauma, what circumstances occurred that caused you to behave in the way or feel the way that you are feeling or behaving. I think a lot of the work is just really getting to the heart of the matter and trying to determine what it is that's causing this kind of endless loop of difficulty and depression and mental health issues. And then I think it's really just identifying small ways to change your circumstances and your environment. I mean, ultimately, I think that environment contributes tremendously to that continual problem. And so I'll give you a good example. It might start with talking to a client about taking a 15-minute walk or working with a client to spend 5 minutes in meditation in the morning, or finding an opportunity for a client to go out and be in nature for a few minutes. Those are the kind of things that I think break the cycle that, that contributes to that churn of mental health concerns, that can kind of get in there, understand the issue, and then find ways to break that pattern in small incremental ways. That's where growth, I think, occurs.
I don't know how you feel about this, but I think maybe at the moment, it's always difficult for men to talk about their feelings. I imagine even more so in an environment like the military. And I do sometimes feel like there is a bit of a crisis of masculinity at the moment, in that actually there are a lot of men who probably are really struggling, living a life of silent desperation, and want to talk, but maybe don't have the emotional intelligence in order to know how to start. But what would your advice be to someone in that position?
I think it's really commonly said right now, listening to other podcasts, reading the news. If anyone's listening to your podcast, they might be searching for others as well. So it's really easily said to be vulnerable and to lead with vulnerability. You hear that all the time. I agree with you. I think it's incredibly difficult to do that, to just go for that. I think it starts with finding someone that you can trust. That's, I think, at the core of it, because if you continue to try to deal with it yourself, there's really two problems that creates. Number one is your brain is very good at keeping you in a place of comfort. So your brain is very good at allowing you to be comfortable, which just means that the thoughts that you generate on a day-to-day basis are going to support your own daily comfort. And sometimes when you're in a difficult place, you don't need comfort. You actually need change and growth. But your brain's just not built that way. It doesn't want to work hard by itself. That's the problem. And then the other problem, I think, when you're trying to deal with it personally, is you don't get new ideas, right? There's only so much you can do with the capacity that you have. And so what somebody else does, or what somebody else would recommend you do, doesn't come to you. So I always tell clients, it's really hard. And this isn't easy to do either. It's not any easier than embracing vulnerability, as we hear all the time. But I find that a 5-minute phone call can absolutely change your life. We're so used to messaging on WhatsApp or sending text messages or getting on social media and talking with people that we have a really difficult time, I think, in our society right now, just picking up the phone and making another call. Now, luckily for most of my clients, they've got me on the other line. And I say that with, obviously, without ego about it, but it's just nice for them to have somebody to call. Most of the time, people don't have that. And so to just encourage somebody to make a phone call, which is a little bit less invasive than maybe sitting down for a coffee or a pint or something like that, but to actually have somebody make a phone call to someone that they can trust. And maybe you don't get into what's really hurting you that day. Maybe it's just too much to talk about that on that particular day. But to get to the end of that phone call, talking about whatever's going on in your life, and to say, hey, I'll call you again in a week, or I'll call you again in a few days, and then following up on that, it's one step to getting you closer to being able to talk with others about the struggles in your life.
I think that's really good advice. I think certainly as men and certainly as dads, you can come up with a million excuses why you can't go and do something, can't meet up with a friend, can't go. I train Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu and I'm very average. The reason I enjoy it is because I get to hang out with a handful of other dads in their 40s. The learning Jiu-Jitsu is fun and it keeps me healthy, but it's probably a secondary. Like sitting down, and quite often we don't sit down and say, tell me about your innermost feelings. We just talk about life, about being a dad. And quite often someone will remember, how are your kids getting on at school? Or how's that work going? Or how's that issue you're dealing with? It's just, I think certainly speaking from experience, when you're struggling with depression, it's very easy to just go into your cave and just go. And actually that's what, as you said, it's the comfortable thing to do. That's the worst thing you can do. The idea of going outside or just talking to someone about it is not what you want to do. But it's, as you said, quite often you have to have that. You've got to push yourself. And once you do, it's like anything. No one ever wants to go for a run. I never want to go and do exercise. Once I've done it, I'm like, I'm so glad I did that. I feel amazing. It's that first 5 minutes, that initial, oh, I don't feel like doing this. Well, you never feel like doing this, because as you said, your mind's trying to keep you comfortable.
Yeah. It's absolutely just, it's about just getting started. Where we live in Northern Michigan, we've got a pretty strong culture of mountain biking. And I've got two neighbors who are in incredible physical condition and I'm not. And so I'm always the one way in the back, you know, they're at the top of the hill and I'm still huffing it up. It's hard for me to get motivated to go on that ride some days because I'm like, I'm just going to be lagging behind these guys the entire time. But it's not only the camaraderie that comes from just being present with other men who are doing something that's hard, but it's also the conversations that you have when you get to the top of the hill. And like you said, it rarely is, let's get into our deepest, darkest secrets. Come on, we're all still men at our core.
Yeah.
But it often is, how's your son doing in school? Or I remember you were talking about the difficulty of building a business. Or, hey, I remember you mentioned the one thing about your wife being upset with you about the thing. How did that go? And then most of the time, you talk about it for a bit, and then you almost always hear from the person that you're present with, oh, yeah, that same thing happened to me. And I think that's the real difficulty that you can get into in states of depression and mental health struggle and just general difficulty is you feel like no one's done that before. Like no one else has experienced what you're experiencing. And so if you don't have the community and the people around you to say, I've been there too, then you feel like you're the only one that can help you solve your problems when you're not.
You're right. It's like whenever you hear about someone else having a battle with depression or some anxiety, it's like it's some revelation. It's like, what? Someone else? Like, of course, someone else. You're not the only person in the world who has stresses. And I think certainly married life and family life is hard, is really hard. And it's a lot of work. A lot of the time it is just a lot of work. It's a lot of laundry and picking kids up from school. And I think I've certainly known that, although I've got a fantastic wife and I'm very lucky and we've got a great relationship, quite often when I've had tough times, I need to talk to my male friends because I think to an extent there's still an element of stigma. Do I really want to bear my most deepest vulnerabilities to my wife? That's not saying we haven't got a strong relationship because we have, but I think just man's going to understand. He's either going to go, I'm on the same page as you.
Yeah, I think the other thing that I think is important to talk about is there are certainly people that may be listening that have tried that before and been burned, right? So in other words, that have tried to reach out to others and maybe the other person didn't mean to brush them away or to miss the meeting or to reschedule coffee, or maybe that there wasn't an intent behind there, but it's not any different than a child reaching out and touching a hot stove and getting burned, because that kind of feeds itself to that feeling of loneliness and being by yourself and being alone. If you try to do that, in other words, if you try to reach out to others and create that community and create that opportunity to talk, and you're turned away or you feel like you're not being heard, or even if that person didn't mean it, it's just rescheduled or otherwise pushed down the road, you might feel a little burned by that, right? And we have this intention then to want to back away from something that hurts us. And so it's really hard to lean into it. It really is. But I have found, with very few exceptions, that human beings want to help other human beings. Yeah. And so you just got to find the people that you're comfortable with. Again, it's increments. You're comfortable with talking about what's going on in life. And then over time, you build that community and that relationship so that it's not abrupt for you to suddenly say, I'm really struggling with this. I'd like to talk about it.
Yeah, I think you're right. It's the frequency, because quite often, as you said, if you go down and you've got something you really want to talk about, but you've got to read the room and you're like, if I bring this up now, it's not the time or the place. The other person has no idea what's going on in your life. They don't know that you might be in a major crisis. But I suppose just keep going down, because the times will happen. Quite often, I've admitted to vulnerabilities or struggles because someone else has said something like, oh, I'm having a really bad time, or a massive argument with my wife. And A, you hearing that go, oh, maybe I'm not the only person in the world. And it just makes, and actually you telling them your story about, well, me and my wife had a massive argument, or the kids are driving me mad, or whatever. I'm like, oh, okay, actually my problems are my problems, but then they are not dissimilar to other people's.
Yeah, I 100% agree. And I think that's, it just reflects back to the idea that there are people out there that are ready and willing to talk and help and be with you and be present with you and listen. And I don't even think you have to work that hard to find them. They're likely right there in your own community. You just got to take that step. It's like stepping out into nature for 5 minutes or going on that walk, or what I'm saying is make that phone call.
Would your advice to be someone, if you were worried about someone, but maybe you didn't know them that well, say, for example, there was a guy, the guys I train with at jiu-jitsu, the thing we have in common is jiu-jitsu. So we're friends, but we're friends because we all go down a train. So I don't know them through work. I don't know through any other. If you were really concerned, what would your advice be?
Yeah, I think it starts with that kind of one small intervention. And I don't use that word lightly, but it does start with kind of that one small act to just try to find a connection, find a conversation. Most of the time, I agree with you. I find that's most appropriate if I send a text message or get on WhatsApp and send a message via WhatsApp, just checking in. It's very common for me and my group of friends to just send a text message and say, hey, man, I'm just checking in, wanted to see how you're doing. And then the conversation might continue on text message, might be a phone call after that. But that's for people that I know pretty well. For someone that you're thinking of, I think it's that small act of engagement, but then it's also meeting them where they're comfortable. So perhaps in the example that you gave, you're training jiu-jitsu, perhaps it's asking if that person wants to spend 15 minutes with you before or after a particular session, training on working on something else. Perhaps it's going and doing a private, so to speak, session, just the two of you and an instructor or something like that. And perhaps it's just getting together and talking about the introduction to the conversation being, let's get together and talk about jiu-jitsu and how things are going and how we're both developing that. So finding the similarity or the way that you can approach that conversation without it being, I agree with you 100% about asking, are you all right? Are you doing okay? Because every human being can sense how other human beings are,
Been offended by someone asking me if I'm okay. Even if it's a message, WhatsApp message that I don't feel, as you said, happy to reply to instantly. It's nice when another human being, quite often one that you don't know that well, goes, you're all right, man, you're really quiet today. I think that's one of the big things that a lot of, I don't know if it's gender specific, a lot of people who struggle with their mental health just feel a bit invisible. And I think being seen, you suddenly feel like, oh, maybe actually there are ports in the storm that I could go to if I need to. I think what you said that I really like is that, certainly in the example of jiu-jitsu, you're not making it about, you're not saying, look, let's meet up and talk about your feelings, because I don't want to do that.
Right.
But like saying, if you're like, oh, could you help me out with something? I've seen you're good, you're quite proficient at this. And then just making it a situation where you're together.
If you think about what you've discussed too, from the other person's perspective, so just the question, are you doing okay? Are you doing all right? If everything is fine, and I don't love the word fine, I don't love the word busy, you get those answers, how you doing, busy, fine, all the time. But if truly that person has a strong handle on their personal and professional lives, and they feel good about the direction that their life is going, then that question is a great question to then answer if you're that person. But if you're not that person and you're struggling with something and you're holding that inside and you simply, you don't know how or when or to whom you can talk about that, when you're asked that question, it does exactly what you said. It causes you to reflect on the problem that you're going through. And then it shows you that there's another person out there who's willing to talk to you about it.
I really hope you got something from this podcast. And if you have something you want to do or you're trying to do something, I'd love to know. Please let me know in the comments. And if you're starting a podcast or starting a YouTube channel or writing a book and want some one-to-one support, you can book a complimentary 15-minute session with me. The link's in the description. I hope wherever you are in the world, you're okay. Take care. My book, First Time Dad, A 42-Week Guide to Pregnancy, is available in Kindle and paperback form on Amazon and an audiobook form on Audible. To sign up for my monthly newsletter, please visit my website, www.dadmindmatters.com.